your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. My guest tonight is Sarah Faith Gottesdiener, and she's an artist, a designer, a writer, a teacher, and a tarot reader. She's the founder of the creative company Modern Women, and for over 10 years, she's been providing guidance to tens of thousands of clients and students in her practice as a psychic tarot reader, also a teacher of magic and feminist self-help, and through her cult class, many moons, workshops, and planners. And tonight we're going to be talking about her book, The Moon Book, Lunar Magic to Change Your Life. And Sarah, it's a big book and we've got a lot to talk about, so come on in.
Hi, Marla. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Oh, what a neat book it was, and still is. like it's in the past tense, right? Before we get started, I mean, for those who may be new listeners to the live show, thank you for being here. And we welcome your questions and comments during the broadcast, but you must be in the chat room to do so. So if you're not here right now, please come over to paraxradionetwork.com and join us, because we'd really like your input. All right, Sarah. So I guess the most obvious question to begin with is, how can lunar magic change our lives?
Yeah, I know, right? And you would think like writing this book and doing this work for so long that I'd have a 30-second elevator pitch ready for everyone. You know, my belief is that everyone's experience with magic and with energy is completely unique and is completely their own. But this is what I'll say. I'm going to say a couple things, and I'd also love to hear you chime in, because I know you are a magical being and I'm sure you have your own relationship with the moon that I'd love mm-hmm. to hear about as well, because I love mm-hmm. hearing about people sharing their stories. But a couple of things. We are anywhere between 50 and 70% made out of water. Water is in the earth. Water is in plants. It is in animals. It is in us. We know that the moon has a direct link to water, not just water in the oceans, not just water in the rivers, not just water in the earth, but also in every living being that is made up of water. Mm-hmm. So that correlation immediately gives us insights into our connection with the moon on a vitality level. The ways that our water rises and falls, the energetic patterns that we have, you know, as you know, Marla, and in witchcraft and in the occult, there is really this tie between water and our intuition and our emotions and our moods and how we care for each other. And so the moon is this direct link to that. So getting to know our own personal patterns of water is, I think, really important, because we're not just on and off. We're not just binary. We go through cycles and we go through evolution. So that's kind of the first thing, is like very practically getting to know our own cycles and getting to know our own patterns is really useful. And the moon can really help us do that, right? Like you'll mm-hmm. hear people be like, oh my gosh, this full moon, I'm totally wiped out. And another person is like, I love the full moon. It's my favorite time. You know, it's very particular. It's very intimate. It has to do a lot with, you know, what phase of your life you're in, like whether you're in a new moon phase or you're in a waxing moon phase. It has a lot to do, I believe, what phase of the moon you were born under. If you were born under a full moon, you either might love it or hate it. You know, it just kind of depends, right? There's all these other factors, obviously, that go into this. But so that's just sort of the first practical one. And in my experience and my magical practice and speaking to hundreds of students and clients and folks who've worked with my output since 2015, which is when I started creating books and publications and classes to help folks work with lunar energy, you know, the moon really helps us work through an entire cycle of a process of desire. And if we're working with the moon in a holistic fashion, we can really work with our actions, our subconscious, our intentions, our conscious mind, and magic itself and the moon itself. So it's a whole process. And for me in my own life, it's how I've been able to get, it's how I've been able to make the most effective magic of my life. So that's why I teach this. That's why I like abide by this. This is transformation on all levels and transformation from the inside out. It is also, I think of it as like life design, like total life design, which of course we know magic is as well. So that's just kind of a smattering of my background and how I work with the moon and what's in my book. But I'd love to hear how the moon has played a part in your magical practice.
And also people in chat can answer that question too.
I love that.
You know, I'm not... I hate labels, all right, in general. So if somebody says, well, the full moon does this or the crescent moon does that, you know, I don't pay attention to that.
But
I know that when there is a full moon, at a certain time, like at 3 or 4 in the morning, it comes through my bathroom window and lights up the bathroom.
Wow.
And I seem to always wake up at that point and just go there and I stand and I look out the window and stare at it and I smile. So yeah, I mean, I think we all have a certain fascination for the moon, and you know, people sometimes overlook what it does because it's really an integral part of life here on Earth. I mean, the gravity pulls at the Earth, the rises and falls of sea levels, the circadian rhythms. I mean, so many things that you just take for granted because we're just used to it. You know, day and night cycle even has to do with Earth orbiting the sun. But, you know, you referred to the moon as the world's celestial anchor. I loved that. And that she represents our interior, our metaphysical side. So can you elaborate just a little bit on that?
Sure. I love everything you've brought up, Marla. Like, I love that you wake up around the full moon and it's this little alarm clock for you to get up and sort of hang out with her, just you and her. You know, adding to that, also, like in the book, I talk about if the moon didn't exist, we might not have the daytime cycle that we have. We may not have the seasons that we know. You know, the moon is important in terms of keeping Earth on its axis, which is really interesting. But yes, you know, traditionally, the moon has been thought of as an interior reflection. You know, there's this quote from the Talmud that says, we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. And I think sometimes the moon is this metaphor for our own mirrors, our own projections. I think that sometimes the moon can bring up scary things or can bring up anxieties, especially for those of us who are sensitive to lunar energy, which it sounds like you are, Marla.
Apparently.
I think a lot of us are, you know, more than we think. But I mean, all the stories I hear from folks from all kinds of backgrounds, it's really interesting. But, you know, I think that a really important part of effective magic is knowing ourselves and knowing our needs outside of what we were taught, outside of what we thought think we should be. And the moon as being this anchor, this reflection and this mirror into our interior can aid us with that vital step of getting to know who we are, what we need, and then we can move towards figuring out how to bring that into different aspects of our lives.
Yeah, manifestation, in a sense. And, you know, those of us, as you said, who practice the craft know how forceful and effective moon magic can be. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit down the line because there's so much to talk about. I've got it all broken up in pieces. And we're going to be playing leapfrog here. But before we get into all of that and more, what actually compelled you to write this book?
Yes. You know, it's so weird how life is so weird.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're a witch, as you know. So I got the call one day from spirit, from my intuition, you could say the moon. You know, I've been practicing magic seriously since about 2005, I would say. I introduced lunar magic in about 2007, 2008, in the way that I talk about it in the book. Mm-hmm. I started teaching small classes in 2012, and then I got the call to write channeled workbooks to work with the moon in real time. They were called Many Moons, and I wrote them from 2015 to 2018. And Spirit said to me, I know I sound like I'm living on another planet talking like this, but maybe you can
understand. Not to my audience, you're not.
Okay, thank you. Okay, great. I love this. So Spirit said, I want to be really clear, like, my business and my life had nothing to do with spirituality, like on a public facing. I was a tarot reader. I was teaching workshops on the occult, but I was also mostly a designer. I taught design and art in colleges. I was a professor. Like, I had a more sort of, you know, stereotypically in quotes, like straight life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've always been a weirdo. I've always been a freak. I'm super into that. But I was like, wait, you want me to do what? Because it was kind of derailing. It wasn't what I had planned. It wasn't what my ego or my human self had sort of thought I was going to do. So anyway, I was like, all right. And then Spirit said, you're going to do this for 3 years and then you're going to stop. And I was like, okay, all right. I had never published a book before, had never been into self-publishing, but I ended up writing 6 books in 3 years where I channeled all of this information on how to work with the moon. I published twice a year. Mm-hmm. So I figured it all out on the human side, and very oddly and magically, all word of mouth, by the way, totally word of mouth, no advertising, no nothing. They just started flying and I ended up selling tens and tens of thousands. I think I've sold like almost 80,000 copies of my self-published works. It was just absolutely wild. I was like, okay, Spirit, I hear you. Like, I get it. So I stopped in 2018. And through that time, because they sort of were, these workbooks were making their way in the world, I got a lot of correspondence from editors and publishers from traditional publishing. And that's a whole other story, but I ended up writing book proposals that I didn't end up accepting. I ended up writing a proposal and then not accepting like the publisher's offer, and on and on and on. But finally, it was actually third time was a charm. I ended up getting connected to my agent and they ended up buying this book proposal for the Moon Book, which is a collection of everything I've really learned about lunar magic and really like living a life over the past odd years. And also what I've learned, you know, particularly working with the moon incredibly intimately in the way that I teach and so on and so forth. So this book is really this culmination of, it's my 10th publication. It is my first with a traditional publisher. Oh, I didn't say the best part of the story. So the third year, I'm like, okay, Spirit told me to do this for 3 years. I didn't question it. I just did it. But I'm also like, what's going to happen? Like, what's going on? I literally was signing the contract for this book as the final copies of Many Moons were going out the door. So it was very divine timing. It all felt very lunar. It all felt very magical. And that's how you have the book that you're holding in your hands today.
Nice. You know, we have all heard tales of moon madness and how the full moon affects crazies, you know, and makes all the crazy people come out. And as I said before, I hate labels, but do you think everybody is affected by the various phases of the moon, whether we realize it or not?
I am a little bit subjective. So my answer would be yes. Yes, I do. I think regardless, wherever you are on the planet, whatever your gender is, whether you identify as a magical practitioner or an atheist or anything else, I think it goes back to those cycles. I think it goes back to our water. I think it goes back to a collective ancestry. Across our globe, collectively, we've all had culturally, we've all had the moon and the sun are the luminaries. They are the ones who have connected us to our magic, connected us to ritual, connected us to ourselves, like so on and so forth. And, you know, I love that you brought up the whole lunar madness, full moon madness. It's my take on that is because the moon is this realm of emotions, of moods, of our water, of our interior. When people, in quotes, go lunatic at the full moon, it's really because they're not dealing with their own feelings. It's really this overwhelm of not being able to have the right toolkits and the right strategies. And of course, I would be remiss to not mention that I just think it's a lot of misogyny. I think it's a lot of misogyny. I think that the moon being linked to the feminine for so long, being linked to you know, traditionally, not everyone who's a woman gets their period, and not everyone gets their period who's a woman. But of course, traditionally, periods, menstruation, and femininity and women have been linked. And I think that's just another way that, like, the patriarchy is trying to take us down.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's an interesting thought that just came to my mind. So in tarot, you have your major arcana and your minor arcana. Okay. In witchcraft and the Wheel of the Year, you have four major sabbats and four minor sabbats. Not that they're lesser sabbats, but they're minor sabbats. So in moon phases, are the full moon and the new moon more powerful than the other phases, do you think?
So I love your mind. That's so cool. As someone who's a super fan of the minor arcana, and also I actually teach a class called Elemental Intuition, where we only focus on the minors because I think they're like super underrepresented, or I think they're like, you know, I think the minors are maybe as powerful in different ways as the majors. Mm-hmm. So I love that you're bringing that up. That's a whole other conversation, but this is what I'm going to say. In my experience, the new and the full, energetically, I call them the exclamation marks on the end of a sentence in general, right? Mm-hmm. I also, in my practice, and it could just be that I'm a dark moon baby, the dark moon also, in my experience, is very intense. Now, that's that period right before the new moon. It's generally about 5 to 3 days before the new moon, and just right before the new moon, people can feel exhausted, full of rage, in the liminal, very magical, feeling like they're in trance. Trance work is really optimal at the dark moon phase. But, you know, every lunar phase has a little bit of a subtlety to it. The new and the full, I think, are felt the most because it's sort of like the clock arms changing, you know, from hour to minute in a sense, if we're going to use that metaphor. And also, like when I was starting my business, man, the waxing moon time from first quarter up to about 2 or 3 days before the full moon, that was like straight up power. That was like juice all the way. I was like in it. And also for me, the days just following the full moon, the waning gibbous about 3 to 5 days after a full moon, I call that the time of the second harvest, is very interesting and very magical to work with. So I think it's really dependent on where you are in your life, what lunar phase you were born under, you know, all of like what's going on in your life, you know. So like for people who are super lunar sensitive, it might be that 3 to 5 days before the full moon is your most magical time. It could also be that 3 to 5 days after the full moon is also your most magical time. Maybe it's three. In my tradition, I'm Jewish, so we actually have a very small holiday called Rosh Chodesh. It is generally 2 to 3 days after the official new moon. It's when there's a crescent moon, that little sliver of a smile in the sky. Mm-hmm. That's when we celebrate the new moon, and that's when I feel most new moon-ish. So it's really personal. It's super intimate. It's for everyone to figure out, have fun with, figure out like the best times of the lunar cycle for what works for them and their energy levels. You know, there's no like right or wrong answer. And that's what I love about lunar work.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much to love about it. And you could never get bored because you're constantly learning, which is also a good thing. So what is moon time and how do we live in it?
Your questions. Someone read the book. I love it. Or ta-da. Yeah, thank you. I love talking to someone who actually like is familiar. It's such a gift. You know, moon. So one of my biggest aims of this book on a conceptual level is to really offer up this idea to folks that we get to reside and exist outside of the binary, outside right and wrong, outside on and off. We get to show up as our messy whole selves. If we are grieving, this year has been a huge year of grief, as we all know. If we are introverted, if we are anxious, whatever that is, I want to invite everyone in to embody their full selves. So lunar time, moon time, for me personally, is the symbol of stepping back into ourselves, stepping outside of systems that try to tell us who we are, try to create hierarchies, try to create abuse, try to tell us who we are, try to tell us that we're more valuable or more worthy because we're more productive or because we're, I don't know, like what society thinks we, in quotes, should be. Everything like the like on paper life, you know, the CV life, whatever that is. Like I'm trying to gently encourage us to start looking at our lives through a much more holographic lens. And the moon time reminds us that we are forever evolving. We are forever cycling. We are forever allowed to exist in different iterations of ourselves, our needs, who we are, what's going on in our life. You know, I really hope that as a culture, I'm talking about Americans, I really hope we can step outside this programming of capitalism and white supremacist patriarchy that can be so harmful, that tells us who we are, that says we're either we're good or bad, either we're in or out. It's absolutely the most illogical thing you can think of. And so many of us, myself included, have bought into it, have been programmed into it, and we're working on unraveling it. I think magic, I think our intuition, I think creativity, I think community, I think all of these different things that we get involved in pursuit of our most authentic embodiment is like where we need to be as a culture and in community and in our own life's path. And that's really what the larger overarching theme of my work and this book is about. And that's how I found the moon. And that's actually what so much of collaborating with the moon has shown me and taught me. And so this is kind of my gift back to the wisdom of living in moon time.
There you go. Do we all have an inner moon?
I think so. Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. Otherwise, we wouldn't be even interested. Anybody that wouldn't be listening to the show today or on podcast or whatever, you know.
What does your inner moon help you with?
It's like an intuition kind of thing. It's hard to explain, though. I mean, it certainly follows certain patterns at times, but I just know it's there all the time, if that makes sense.
Is it like a sort of intangible compass?
Sort of, yeah. Yeah. And boy, do I need a compass sometimes.
We all do. Yeah. I think all of us have, I mean, I think that's what you're talking about. We're talking about our intuition. We're talking about recognizing our needs. We're talking about what season of our evolution or life that we're in right now. We're talking about that, that protective self, or that sort of like little alarm bell that says, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't feel right. Or, hey, wait a minute, this feels great. I want more of this. You know, I think it's like our inner guide, and I think it's always moving. And I think while that's maddening, it's also really exciting, because part of our life experience on this planet is to experience different versions of ourselves and to learn and to grow, you know, and to orbit. And I think that's what our inner moon can help us do.
Yeah. And we have to listen to it just like we would listen to our intuition. You kind of need to pay attention sometimes, and nourish the inner moon as well. And yeah, I think anybody that's ever looked up at the moon, no matter what phase it was in, just stood there and smiled. That to me means you've got an inner moon.
I love that. And that's like the most human experience. We've all looked up at the moon and just been like, hey, wow, I see you, you know, wow, I'm here, I'm alive, like I'm in the cosmos, I'm on this like magical planet that is spinning through a galaxy that we know almost nothing about. This is so terrifying and incredible and wild, and we can all connect to that feeling. And that's what I think, like when I talk about the moon as being our like celestial anchor, like we have all had this experience of wonderment. And I think the moon, and of course the sun, and of course nature, and of course the planets, of course the stars, they all remind us that we're a bit more than what we even think we are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're going to take a break in about 3 minutes, but I've got one question before then. How might we access moon messages and recognize them also?
Love this. Yeah, you know, I believe also like the lunar energy. And again, if you're not a super moon freak like I am, please extend this advice to the sun, your animal friends, you know, synchronicities, planets, if you're super into the planets, so on and so forth. Extend it, extend the metaphor as wide as you need to, because I am not precious about this. But I do believe that a lot of us need to practice the art of energetically receiving. And for me in my own life, lunar magic, communing with the moon, has really taught me the importance of receiving. And what that means for me personally is getting still, getting quiet, slowing down enough, opening myself up enough, having trust. I mean, I'm speaking also about any kind of relationship, any kind of intimate or meaningful relationship. You know, I'm thinking, as I'm speaking, I'm thinking about me and my partner. I'm thinking about me and my good friends. I'm thinking about me and my spirit guides. I'm thinking about me and, you know, learning about plants and flowers and all of the things, my animals, my dogs, all of it, right? So this is like an analogy, but we need to create enough space in our consciousness and in our energy centers to receive. And so for me, one of the most important aspects of moon messages or any kind of energetic messages is being willing and open to receive energetically. And that includes trust, it includes quietude, it includes stillness, and it does also include a way to interpret particular messages.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, there's a question in the chat room that we're going to get to and a whole lot more. So everybody, please stay put. And 2 minutes. We'll be back.
Stirring the Cauldron will be right back. So don't go away. If you end up with webbed feet, remember, you've been warned. Missed an episode of Stirring the Cauldron? Then be sure to check out MarlaBrooks.com and check out the archive. And while you're there, check out Marla's weekly Witches Oracle card reading. Explore the site to find many great resources, such as information on tarot, oracle readings, metaphysical consultations, and links to all of Marla's books. That's MarlaBrooks.com.
Rat! Rat! I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear... Line!
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
All right. For those of you who might have joined us late, my guest is Sarah Faith Goddess Diener, and we're talking about her book, The Moon Book. And before the break, I saw a question in chat, so I'm going to throw it at you. Kathy says, I've always felt a strong draw to the moon. Never knew why. Just found out I was born under a new moon. Wonder if that means anything.
Love it. So in my book, I talk all about this. I talk about lunar types. All that means is what phase of the moon you were born under can give you more information about your natural inclinations, your natural proclivities. New moon baby in the house, that's so beautiful. You know, new moons love fresh starts. New moons are constantly reinventing themselves. You probably have a lot of dreams, visions. Your imagination is probably quite robust. You probably are very, very interested and comfortable in initiating new projects. The only sort of like things to watch out for is being a bit more enthusiastic and not maybe thinking about the follow through. New moon babies have to look out for saying yes, 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 without like thinking about the actual labor or thinking about all of the other bits and parts of what a project might entail or what that yes might get you into. So just, you know, slowing down just a little bit to sort of think about what you actually want to do with your energy. New moon babies add hopefulness, cheerfulness, enthusiasm. You know, they're always on a fresh start. They're always really good at dusting themselves off and trying again. It might take, with new moon babies, it sometimes takes a few iterations, a few sort of like call and responses, if you will, with the universe in order to sort of like figure out, in quotes, your place. But all of that is just part of the process. And yeah, so if to the listener and to anyone else listening, I think it's super simple and easy to look up what phase of the moon you are born under and to tune into that energy, either when we're in that phase of the moon literally or like how that sort of reflects in your life. I have some guidelines in my books. I think it's really fascinating, but I believe that there is some kind of influence there. I believe that there is some kind of reflection of some of our innate gifts, essences, and abilities.
Okay, great. Another question came in. What kind of moon rituals differ from different cultures?
Oh my gosh, this is such an expansive question.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, so in my book, I talk about how so many cultures across the planet have idolize the moon, have worshiped the moon, have worked with the moon. And there's all these different ways that they have interpreted the moon. You know, in some cultures, the moon is male, you know, in some cultures, the moon is female. In some cultures, the moon and the sun are brothers and sisters, and others, their husbands and wives, and on and on and on and on. In general, most cultures observe the new and the full. And we see that as remnants in today's world. As I've said before, my background is I'm Jewish. I'm also Catholic as well, but my Jewish ancestry is my sort of most aligned ancestry right now. And we really are a lunar people. So whenever our holidays happen, they tend to be on a new moon. We can see this in, for example, in the Chinese New Year, in the Lunar New Year. They happen in February on a new moon. You can look to your ancestry if you happen to sort of know the vague idea of where you came from. And you can look into the folklore. You can look into the rituals. You can look into the metaphors that abide for you there, you know, through each cycle of the moon. And, you know, again, we were talking about the new and full. In general, what I have seen when I was doing my research for this, most cultures do observe a new and a full. That doesn't mean, like, so for example, in Hawaii, each single lunar phase of a roughly 29-day lunar cycle has a name, has an energy. You know, I'm sure there are other cultures who parse out their lunar phases into more complex energies. So, you know, I think this is, I think like if you're, my thing with people asking questions is if you're asking a question, that means like you're really interested in it and you get to explore this idea. So I would bring it back. I would throw it back to the listener and check out, you know, if you know, if you're privileged enough to know your ancestry, to look into that and to see what resonates for you.
Good. You know, it's funny, somebody in chat just wrote that they were born under a waxing crescent phase, and we're in one right now. So
I'm also like, lucky them.
Yeah, exactly. So what goes on during this phase? What should we be doing or not doing during a waxing moon phase?
So I love, Marla, that you started this chat off by saying you don't believe in labels. That like, if someone's like, do this, do that, you know, like, it's like, to heck with all of it, like figure out what stirs your cauldron, right? Like, So I love that. So that's what I just want to lead with. It's like, take what you'd like and leave the rest. I am absolutely right. Like part of my core teaching is trying to encourage folks to connect to their own intuition and what works for them. And like, you know, if a waxing crescent isn't your jam, there's definitely a phase of the moon that is, because there's so many of them. And that's also why I love this. So all of this is to say is, in my practice, traditionally, the waxing crescent to the waxing gibbous is this time to put plans into action. So at the new moon, we dream, we vision, we think about what we'd like, we are receptive to any messages that are coming through to us. And then a few days after, whether that's 3 to 7 days, we are like, okay, nothing to it but to do it. If like I'm ready to, you know, write a chapter of my book, I'm going to do it. If I'm ready to get, I don't know, a self-care plan together, or exercise plan, whatever it is that is tangible. If I'm ready to network, if I'm ready to put myself out there with my loved ones in different ways, whatever that looks like, if I want to explore a new art practice or learn a new skill, the waxing crescent, when we see that sliver of light, that sliver of reflected light in the sky, it's that gentle encouragement to be like, you got this. Now we got to put our plans into motion.
Right. So another question. You also talk about a waxing moon tarot pull under that chapter, which deals with staying centered. And you say that it's an excellent time for making magical charms. Now that kind of got my feelers up really happy. So for those who may not know, why do we use charms? And what are magical charms in regards to, you know, different moon things?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure a lot of listeners out there in Radioland are familiar with sympathetic magic. And what sympathetic magic is we use symbols, meaningful symbols, that tie to our desires and what we want to move into as a means to charge ourselves, as a means to keep ourselves focused and aware, as a means to remind ourselves either what phase we're in or what we're moving towards. So in my practice, the waxing moon is a beautiful time to really think about how we're adorning ourselves symbolically. And of course, that includes how we part our hair, what colors we're wearing, what perfumes or oils we're wearing, maybe even what herbal tonics we are ingesting, what kinds of foods we're eating, so on and so forth, of course. And also if we charge symbolic items, and also items that correlate with that which we are trying to call in. Let's just say we're trying to call in a new love. We might make a magical talisman of rose quartz, of cinnamon. We might add more honey into our tea in the morning because we're trying to conjure sweetness in our lives. All of these little symbolic actions and symbols awaken our subconscious, keep us on track, and can charge us as the magical object, because as you all know, you are the magical object. You know, you are the, you are the spell. You know, it doesn't matter. It's like crystal, distal, like oracle card. Yeah, they're all awesome. I love them. I have many. I have many crystals. I have many oracle cards. And also, we need to remember that we are the spell. And what, in my opinion, magic is about is it's the act of transformation. It's the act of mastering our consciousness and our energy. And it also is this act of being able to program ourselves with the energy we would like to be and the energy we would like to call in.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're getting short on time, but there's one thing I really want to talk about real quick. You write about the ways that we can work with the moon, and one of those ways is creating a lunar altar. Now, I think altars are important, and you have information on building one for each lunar phase. Now, would it also be possible to set up a general lunar altar and then add a particular focal point as each phase begins?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. Like, you can start off with a very minimal altar. A lot of witches I know have multiple altars, right? Mm-hmm. So like multiple altars that do different things. I have some witch friends who have an altar in their backyard or on their patio, and then they have an altar where they sit at and journal inside. Then they have an altar where their workings are going. Like, I don't, you know, witch, this is what I know about witches, Marla. Witches love journals. Witches love multiple oracle and tarot decks, and witches love multiple altars. So, you know, it's not, there's not a hard and fast, it's not right or wrong. If you want to have a general altar that you sit by and you do your morning practice by and you journal and you pull a card, gorgeous. If you then, if you're like, okay, I'm working with the moon for a couple of phases or for this phase, I'm going to create a lunar altar because I'm working with the moon as an energy and a deity. Go for it, you know, like make it your own practice, switch it up. In general, if in my practice, if I'm working intently through one entire phase of the moon, one entire lunation, yes, I will add to my altar. I will change it based on the phase of the moon, based on what I'm doing and my workings. It's dynamic, just like we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, tell us where we can find you and your books and all the things that you're doing, where people can get all the information on you.
Yes. So the Moon Book can be found anywhere. I always ask listeners to please support local independent booksellers, right? So there's Bookshop, IndieBound. You can call your local bookshop and you can ask for, you know, an order of it. It can be ordered anywhere. So please, please, please do that. My name is Sarah Faith Gottesdiener. You can find me online. My company is called Modern Women Projects. That's the URL. And the only other thing I'm on actively is Instagram. And my handle is Goddess. It is G-O-T-T-E-S-S-S. It was a joke on my last name, which is Gottesdiener, which means servant of God. And then I just never changed it. And now I'm supposedly a professional. So here we go. So it's not the most streamlined, but here I am showing up as myself right now. It's the best I can do.
That works really well. All right. So I want to really thank you for coming in tonight. And really do come back, because we left out so much. Way too much. So we'll get in touch. We'll keep in touch and we'll get you back in. And I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight as well, because that's what we're here for. And until next time, everybody, blessed be, blessed Yule, Merry Christmas, and merry meet again. Good night.
Circle be open, mind. peace of the goddess be ever in your heart. Merry meet and merry part, and merry meet again. Merry meet again. Merry meet again.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron. Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited.